Hatzaleach. So, excuse me. The message that I have today, it's kind of like a part two to my message from yesterday, but not exactly, but it definitely goes with the message from yesterday. And the name of the message is called No. N-O. So, there's only one word that is the same in every language. And when I ask people that, they usually say, is it no? But no, it's not. No is the same in a lot of languages, but not. It's actually hallelujah. That's the only word that's the same in every language. But in English, you've probably heard this expression. I know I've heard it growing up as a child. What is it about no that you don't understand? Right? What is it about no that you don't understand? So that's pretty much what I'm going to ask today. What is it about no that you do not understand? Because, you know, we're human beings. And as human beings, we are double-minded. You know, like sometimes we'll say one thing and then we do the opposite. Or we say we believe in something and we don't do it. And it's contradictory measures. You know, the same way, how can, you know, ladies say they believe, you know, that you have to be chaste until you're married and you have to, you know, keep yourself chaste until married. And then they come and they dress almost like prostitutes. You know, you're dressing with very short things, revealing. Those are contradictory things. And all of us do it in our life. Men do it probably more than ladies do it. We say we believe in the Sabbath, but then we go out on the Sabbath and we break it, right? We do things, we violate the Sabbath, even our thoughts sometimes on the Sabbath. So today is kind of like the last message, not for me to tell you, you know, what you don't understand about no, for you to ask yourself what you don't understand about no. Because the one thing is with Yahweh, when Yahweh says no, he means it. That's the point of it. And a lot of times in our life, we're living in a very, very tough time. Like I said, we're in the worst time the world has ever known and never will know. And sometimes in our life, we're holding back blessings that we otherwise could have because we're not understanding what Yahweh means when he says no. So I hope after this message, we understand it better. I'm going to start in Numbers 14. And remember, this is when the Israelites sent the spies into the promised land, and they came back, and what are they saying? You know, oh, these people are like giants, you know, in the land, they're this and that, you know, they're going to take us, and they want to go back to Egypt. You know, they want to go back to Egypt, and we know that only Yehoshua and Caleb were the two that said, no, 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 you know, we can take these people. And this is really where Yahweh really got fed up. He was really to the point of just, you know, getting rid of all the people from that point. So I'm going to pick up the story in verse 26 from here of what Yahweh said because of that. Because here it was, Yahweh sending them in there. He did all these miracles. He's with them, right? They're physically seeing miracles, and they're worried about human beings, what human beings are going to do. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, verse 26 of Numbers 14. And Aaron saying, how long will I bear with this evil company who are murmuring against me? I have heard the murmurings of the sons of Israel, which they are murmuring against me. Say to them, as I live, says Yahweh, as surely as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you. Your dead bodies will fall in the wilderness, even all your numbered sons, as to your whole number from 20 years and upward, and that you have murmured against me. So this is the thing that really was the last straw that kept these people out of the promised land. You shall certainly not come into the land which I lifted up my hand to cause you to live in it, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Yehoshua, the son of Nun. As for your infants, of whom you said they will be a prey, I will bring them in, and they shall know the land which you have rejected. As for you, your carcasses will fall in the wilderness. And your sons will be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and shall bear your fornications until your carcasses are wasted in the wilderness. By the number of the days of which you spied out the land, 40 days, a day for a year, a day for a year, you will bear your iniquity 40 years, and you will know my alienation from you. I am Yahweh, I have spoken, I shall do this to all this evil company who are gathered together against me. They shall be brought to an end in this wilderness, and there they will die. And the men whom Moses had sent to spy out the land, and who, when they returned, made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up an evil report against the land, even those men bringing up an evil report in the land died in the plague before Yahweh. But Yehoshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of those men that went to spy out the land. And Moses told these words to all the sons of Israel, and the people mourned deeply. So now here it is, right? Yahweh gave them many, many chances. They didn't take it. This was the final straw, and Yahweh said, that's it. That's the end of it. This is it. Was their answer to accept it? No. They didn't. What happens next? And they rose early in the morning and went to the top of the mountain, saying, behold, we are here. We will go to the place which Yahweh has said, for we have sinned. And Moses said, why do you now transgress the mouth of Yahweh, since it will not prosper? And how many times do we do this in our life? We know that something is not the will of Yahweh in our life, and we compromise. But I'm only doing a little bit of it. You know, I only use it for this. I'm only doing this. I'm only doing that. When something is not the will of Yahweh, it is not going to prosper in our life. And I believe that many times, brethren are going through trials because they're not understanding this. They're not understanding when Yahweh says no, it means no. And this with the people near him. They went up and he said, why do you now transgress the mouth of Yahweh, since it will not prosper? Do not go up, for Yahweh is not in your midst, and you will be defeated by your enemies. For the Amalekite and the Canaanite are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned back from following Yahweh, and Yahweh is not with you. And they presumed to go up to the top of the mountain anyway. But the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh and Moses did not leave the middle of the camp, right? That's where the safety is. The safety is in the camp. You go outside the camp and you're roaming around. You are going at your own risk. And look out, because Yahweh is not going to be with you. And the Amalekite, the Canaanite living in that mountain came down and struck them and beat them down to Hormah. So that's the consequences when we don't understand when Yahweh says no. And you know what? It happens to everybody. As we even see with Moses, Deuteronomy 34, in verse 4 and 5. And Yahweh said to him, to Moses, this is the land, this is up on Mount Nebo, which many of us have been to. This is the land which I have sworn to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your seed. I have caused you to see with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. And Moses, the servant of Yahweh, died there in the land of Moab according to the command of Yahweh. So we know even Moses did not go into the promised land because of, not giving Yahweh the glory, you know, when he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. And Moses tried, you know, because it really hit his heart. We go to Deuteronomy 3, but look what happens. Because when Yahweh says no, it means no. Deuteronomy 3, verse 23, he says, and I prayed to Yahweh for favor at that time, saying, Adonai Yahweh, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For who is an ally in the heavens on the earth who can do according to your works and according to your might? Please let me pass over and see the good land which is beyond the Jordan, this good hill countries in Lebanon. But Yahweh was angry with me on your account. It would not listen to me. And Yahweh said to me, let it be enough for you. No, no. And you shall not cross over this Jordan. So, wow. You know, I always say this when we're up there on Mount Nebo. I say, you know, it's kind of scary because if Moses couldn't even make it to the promised land, what chance do I have, right? But with men, it's impossible. With Yahweh, everything's impossible. But I hope you get out of it, because what I get out of this is we don't want to get Yahweh to that point. You know, we don't want to get Yahweh to that point where we know his will in certain things in our life and we're simply ignoring it. We're not coming out of the system, you know. We're staying on the internet day and night. We're doing all these things, you know, that are not the will of Yahweh. And then somehow we're expecting he's going to give the blessing anyway. And like I said, the last day of the feast, I'm giving a message on separating the wheat from the chaff that has started now. And this is where no is really going to become no. Where people that have not been following the instruction of Yahweh, it's not that we're going to do anything. These people are no longer going to want to be part of us. Because when the Spirit of Yahweh leaves, look out. And I've seen it. I'm 40 years in the faith. I had people that were like family to me. And once they gave up on Yahweh and Yahweh's Spirit left them, it was like you didn't even know them. They were a totally different person. how they acted, their language. And unfortunately, some of these people even committed suicide. Because like I said, once you get up to Mount Zion, where do you go from there? You know, it's one thing if you never had the truth, like it says. It's better never to have known the truth than have known it and blaspheme Yahweh. That's what blaspheme of the Holy Spirit is. It's knowing what the truth is, doing the opposite anyway. And like we know, the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. So let's continue here. I want to go over some stories here in the Bible of people that weren't even bad people. Like Moses wasn't a bad person, but didn't understand when Yahweh said no. 1 Kings 13, this is, to me, it's always been one of the most odd stories I've seen in Scripture, because even the man's name, it doesn't even give the name of the prophet that's here, and then what happens to him by another prophet for whatever reason, but the basis of the story is the same. 1 Kings 13, starting in verse 7. So this prophet was sent by Yahweh to go and prophesy against the king of Israel and what was going on there, right? And he does it, and he sees that Yahweh is with him, and, you know, the king's hand is withered and that whatnot, you know, Jeroboam. So I'm going to pick it up in verse 7. So after the king, who first was going out to do harm to this prophet, and then he sees, you know, that Yahweh is with this prophet and may kill him, then he decides, you know, I better be good with this prophet. And the king spoke to the man of Elohim. He says, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I'll give you a gift. And the man of Elohim said to the king, if you would give me half of your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread, nor would I drink water in this place. For so he, Yahweh, commanded me by the word of Yahweh, I guess the cherub that's speaking to him, was saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor turn back in the way that you have come. Right? That's what Yahweh told him. And he went another way, and did not turn back in the way in which he came into Bethel. And a certain aged prophet was living in Bethel, and his son came and told him all the deeds that the man of Elohim had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken to the king. Yea, they told them to their father. And their father said to him, where is this man? What way did he go? And his son saw the way that the man of Elohim from Judah had gone. And he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me, and they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it. And he went after the man of Elohim and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said to him, are you the man of Elohim who has come from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I'm not able to go back with you and to go in with you, nor may I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. Right? We just said, Yahweh told him, don't do it. For a word came to me by the word of Yahweh, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there. You shall not turn back or go in the way in which you came. And he said to him, I am also a prophet like yourself. And a cherub spoke to me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with you into your house, and he shall eat bread and water. And he lied to him. Why he lied to him, we don't know. Was Yahweh testing him, you know, telling this man? Or was he deceiving him? Why he did it? We have no idea. But one thing we know is Yahweh told him, don't go that way. And he should have known that Yahweh is not like man. He doesn't change. And he turned back with him and ate bread in his house and drank. And it happened as they were sitting at the table, the word of Yahweh came to the prophet, the one who lied to him, you know, brought him back. And he cried to the man of Elohim who came from Judah, saying, so says Yahweh, because you have resisted the mouth of Yahweh, and you have not kept the command with Yahweh your Elohim charged you, and you turned back and ate bread and drank water in the place which Yahweh said to you, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, your carcass shall not come to the burying place of your fathers. And after he ate bread, after he drank, it happened that he saddled the donkey for him for the prophet whom he had brought back. And he left, and a lion found him in the way and killed him. And his carcass was thrown down in the way, and the donkey was standing near it, and the lion was standing near the carcass. Wow. So here it is, somebody who's a faithful witness, right? He told the king he couldn't do it. And now it's another prophet telling him, you know, well, a cherub told me you can come. And he just thinks he's following along. And what happens? It cost him his life, right? And today, I can't tell you how many people are doing the same thing with the book of Enoch and some of these other books that contradict scripture, and they'd rather follow an apocryphal book from some guy that who knows if he was drunk or whatever in the 2nd century BC that is writing this stuff. and they're following it and turning away from the word of Yahweh. Some of these people change the Sabbath, they change their calendars, and Enoch is only one book. There's a lot of other books out there too that people are following, but like I said, what is it about Noah that we don't understand? Yahweh is not like man. Yahweh doesn't change. And it doesn't matter who tells you. It doesn't matter if I tell you. If anybody tells you something against the word of Yahweh, you don't do it. You don't follow it. You don't follow anything against the word of Yahweh. Because nobody has that authority. Nobody has the authority to change the word of Yahweh. And in our life, like I said, many people... You know, we're living in a world where Yahweh says separate from the world, and we're not separating from the world, and Yahweh is saying no to many things that you're doing in your life every single day. You know, you got to look at what are the books you're reading, what are the sites you're surfing, you know, what are the movies you're watching, you know, what are you doing every day of your life that Yahweh has already said no and you're not listening. And we have to look, you know, because we do reap what we sow. And, you know, face it, we're going through the baptism of fire. So we are going to go through trials in this time to purify us. You know, we don't want to, every time we go through a trial, be looking to think we're doing something. But when we're not getting, you know, when our spiritual life is not right and our relationship with Yahweh is not right, we have to start questioning and asking, what is it about no, we don't understand? What are we doing that we know is not the will of Yahweh, and we're doing it anyway, thinking we're going to get another result? So the prophet was told not to go back the same way, and he did. He was tricked, and he still got killed. He still got killed. Samuel 13, we were talking a little bit about this yesterday with King Saul, because we see the same thing. We're living in the Laodicean era. Like we said, most people are not Philadelphians. Most people are Laodiceans. They don't want to be part of congregations. They don't want to follow men. They want to all do it their own way. And what does Yahweh say about that? Does Yahweh have judicial order? Well, like I tell people that are atheists, you know, they say, I don't believe in any Elohim or this and that. And I say, it doesn't matter whether you believe or not. It only matters whether it's true. Because whether you believe that there's nothing, whether you believe we came from cats or monkeys or whatever, it makes no difference in the world. The only thing that matters is what's true. And I tell those atheists, you know, that you may be snickering and you may be laughing now, but when, like it says, when the white throne judgment comes and people are wailing and, you know, gnashing of teeth and crying and screaming as they're being dragged to the lake of fire, they're not going to be laughing in that day. They're not going to be laughing in that day. And we have proof of what it is. We have proof of creation. We have proof of Yahweh's existence. So people don't have to believe it. People have free will, but you will reap what you sow. You are going to suffer the consequences of the decisions you make. And people that do not believe in judicial order, believe in what I say. Many of them are already suffering the consequences in their lives, in their families. You know, there's a reason why divorce rate, at least in Western society, is up to 60%, and more than 50% aren't even getting married. So it tells you what the real rate is at that point, because when you violate the word of Yahweh, you are not going to get the good results you think in your life. It's that simple. We have to make sure we understand no is no. So in Samuel 13, 1 Samuel 13, and this is King Saul, right? And this is now the Philistines are fighting against Israel. And the Philistines gathered, verse 5, to fight with Israel with 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the lip of the sea for multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. And the men of Israel saw that they were distressing to them, for the people were distressed. And the people hid themselves in caves and crevices and crags and tombs and cisterns. And the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And Saul was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling, right? They're losing the war. He's in Gilgal. He's waiting for Shmuel, Samuel. And he waited 7 days according to the set time with Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring near to me the burnt offering and the peace offering. And he offered up the burnt offering. Wow, he's not a priest. He knows better. You know, a non-priest isn't allowed to do an offering. And it happened as soon as he finished the burnt offering, the old Samuel came. How many times in our life does that happen, right? That we're, we we don't have the patience, you know, or the discipline in our life to wait on Yahweh. We do it our own way, and as soon as we do it our own way, then boom. Then it's like, oh, why didn't I wait? So as soon as this happens, right, Samuel comes, and Saul went out to greet him and to bless him. And Samuel said, because I saw that the people were, and Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and you did not come in the day set out, right? You got to blame somebody else, accusing spirit. And the Philistines were gathering at Michmash. Then I said, now the Philistines will come down to me at Gilgal, and I have not sweetened the face of Yahweh. So did we really sweeten Yahweh's face by disobedience? And I forced myself and offered a burnt offering. Kind of sounds like what Aaron did, right? You know, hey, the people wanted this, and I, you know, I put in the gold, and this calf came out. You know, it just happened to happen that way. So the same way here, he forced himself. Poor Saul. You know, he forced himself. And what does Samuel say? Samuel says to Saul, you have acted foolishly, that you have not kept the command of Yahweh your Elohim, which he commanded you, right? Going against Yahweh's judicial order. For now, Yahweh would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not stand. Yahweh has sought out for himself a man according to his own heart, and Yahweh has appointed him as a leader over his people, for you have not kept that which Yahweh has commanded you. So again, right, we're all humans. David wasn't perfect, but I never see where David was purposely going against Yahweh's judicial order. I don't see it ever. I never see where David is corrected, where he's justifying himself, trying to put it on somebody else. I see where when David was corrected, David took it to heart and he changed. That's the difference between a David and a Saul. But we see here that, like I was saying yesterday, Saul didn't only lose the kingdom for himself. He lost it for his whole tribe. He lost it for his sons, his grandsons, and every single person of that tribe because he didn't understand no. Yahweh's judicial order doesn't change. It doesn't change. When he says something, he means it. And if our life, if you're sitting there right now and you are not filled with joy and zealous for Yahweh like anything, and the happiest person on the planet of this earth, then there's something in your life that you're not getting no. Because we should be. There shouldn't be anyone on this earth that's happier than us. We're the only people with the Spirit of Yahweh. We're the only ones that have direct contact to his throne. We're the only ones that very shortly will be with Yeshua, reigning with him for eternity. So if we're not so filled with joy over that, and so happy, you know, and bearing fruit for his kingdom, then there's something about no we're not getting. We are compromising some way in our life, like I said yesterday. Turn the page a couple over. Samuel 15. We read this, but I'll read it again, just a short part. Verse 22 and 23. Because Samuel tells him here, Yahweh has rejected you because you don't understand no. 15, chapter 15, verse 22. And Samuel says, does Yahweh delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, obeying is better than sacrifice. To give attention is better than the fat of rams. So that's what Yahweh wants. He wants our obedience. He wants our loyalty, because loyalty is obedience. And like I said, when it comes to gifts, Yahweh can give you automatically that you could speak every language in the world. Yahweh can give you automatically that you can play every instrument in the world. Yahweh can give you automatically that you can have all knowledge, scientific knowledge. So when it comes to something that's knowledge, Yahweh can give us all knowledge instantaneously. But you know what he can't give you? He can't give you character. Character has to be you know, born. Character has to be drawn out. Character has to be worked on. So Yahweh can't give you character, and he can't give you loyalty. And if you don't have loyalty, you know, I mean, we're only on this earth 60, 70, 80 years, right? You're talking about eternity. How can Yahweh ever make us an eternal being without loyalty? Because sooner or later, and probably sooner, we'll become like Satan the devil. You know, without that loyalty, that is so important. And when Yahweh says no, and we're not following that, we are being disloyal. We are literally being disloyal to him. Because he's showing us his way, and he's saying, this is not of me, and we're saying it doesn't make a difference. I'm only doing a little bit of it. I'm not doing a lot of it. I'm only doing a little bit of it. So Saul lost the kingdom for everybody. And like it says in verse 23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is both iniquity and idolatry. So the key is we're all going to make mistakes. We're all sinners and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. But the key is, what do we do when Yahweh shows us? What do we do? Do we accept it? Do we embrace it? Do we repent? Do we change? Or do we, like King Saul, do we justify it? You know, there's always a reason why. It was somebody else. Somebody else did it. You know, it was my parent. It was my brother and sister. It was my teacher at school. It was the guy I worked with. It was the neighbor. You know, there's always a reason why it's somebody else instead of looking in. So are we a King David or are we King Saul? Which one is it? Because one is going to be the king eternal, third in the kingdom next to Yahweh and Yeshua forever. The other one is not going to be there. The other one went into real witchcraft, as we see, calling up demons, and said end to Saul's life from there. Stubbornness is both iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, so he has rejected you from being king. What is it about? No, we don't understand, right? Go down to verse 24 now. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I transgressed the mouth of Yahweh in your word, because I feared the people, and I listened to their voice. So is it repented? No, he's still doing the same thing. Just like the people I read in the beginning in Numbers 14, right? That once they saw what they were losing, yeah, now we'll run up there. And it's like, it's too late. Yahweh already said he's not with you. You know, I gave a message a while ago, follow the cloud, you know. And once that cloud moves, you better look out, because you won't know where to go. And if you start running after that cloud in avenues that you think it is, you're going to be in big trouble. That's why you stay in the camp. That's where Yahweh's cherubs are. That's where Yahweh's protection is. It's inside the camp. Once you go out on your own and you're doing your own thing, you don't have that anymore. So he's saying, you know, he listened to the voice. And now, please lift up my sin and return me that I may worship Yahweh. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh has rejected you from being king over Israel. Yahweh wasn't double-minded the way Saul was. And Samuel turned around to go, and he took hold of the edge of his robe and tore it. Wow, the tzitzit, the sign of authority. He turned around and ripped it from Samuel. And look what Samuel says. And Samuel said to him, Yahweh has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. And also the glory of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And when you look at the difference of Samuel and Saul, right? Saul does this on purpose because he's trying to take that kingdom back by force. David did it, right? And then he repented because he realized, even though Yahweh said, I'm going to be in this position, Yahweh's going to put me there. I am not going to put my hand to Yahweh's anointed. So can you imagine that? Wow. Even after he was given the mandate by Yahweh, you are going to be king, I reject Saul. David didn't go and slice his head off. David said, okay, Yahweh, I believe you, but you do it. You do it. You know, I'm here, but you do it. Yahweh doesn't change. The character of Saul was selfish, prideful, and self-serving. And like I said, he lost not only for himself, but it affected the whole tribe. We have to think about that. When we have that attitude, you're not only affecting yourself, you're affecting everybody around you. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am Yahweh, I do not change. Because of this, you sons of Jacob are not destroyed. So, wow, we should be so happy that Yahweh doesn't change, because if he did, we wouldn't be here. You know, why would he still be working with Israel? A rebellious and unrighteous nation, he said, from day one. And still today, thousands of years later, they're still doing the same thing. But Yahweh is still working with Israel because Yahweh doesn't change, because Yahweh made a promise to Abraham. And that's why the covenant is still, the new covenant is still with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not because of their good, like he tells them, in spite of their evil, that Yahweh doesn't change. I am Yahweh, I do not change. Because of this, your sons of Jacob are not destroyed. When Yahweh says no, he means it. And you want to know something? When you look back at COVID, and it's very evident because Yahweh also has health laws, that we need to be keeping with health laws and the food we eat, you know, and not be taking bad things in our body. But I would say most of our brethren, probably 95% of our brethren, did not take the vaccine. go anywhere with it. But there were a few people who took the vaccine, and the ones that I know that took it died in pretty quick. Dropped dead. Now, a few of them didn't even agree with it, but they were threatened, you're going to lose your job, you know, da, 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 this. I even have relatives that were against it and took it because they didn't want to lose their job. And now they have sicknesses and immune problems for the rest of their life. Is a job worth that? Is a job worth that? No. In this case, as a believer, was a job worth? They're dead now. They have no opportunity to change or repent. They literally dropped dead within a matter of days from taking that thing. So this is why we have to understand no, because whether you drop dead immediately, like with COVID, or whether Yahweh allows you to live your life out in misery, as we see in these situations, once Yahweh said enough, he wasn't changing. That was it. That was the end of it. And whether it was the children of Israel that didn't want to go in the promised land, or Moses' servant, once Yahweh says enough, it's enough. And we're at that point now where he's starting to separate the wheat from the tares. And he's had enough with it. And we better know which side we're on. Because if not, our eternal inheritance is going to be done. So we might live the rest of our days here, and maybe we'll have a little bit of food here, and maybe I'll have a roof over my head. But what good is that for the next 5, 7, 10, 15 years and lose your eternity? What good is it if we're compromising with the word of Yahweh? Numbers 22, another interesting story here. When we're looking at Yahweh meaning when he says no. The story of Balaam. Very shady character. Even in the New Testament, you know, we're warned about Balaam. You know, this. Numbers 22, starting in verse 1. He says, the sons of Israel pulled up stakes and camped in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan by Jericho, right? So that's underneath Mount Nebo, the plains of Moab, which is the land of Reuben. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab greatly feared because of the people, for it was many. And Moab was vexed by the presence of the sons of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this assembly is licking up all that is around us, as the ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. And he sent messages to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Bethor, that's right across the other mountain, across from Mount Nebo, which is beside the river of the land of the sons of his people, to call for him, saying, behold, the people has come out of Egypt. Behold, it has covered the eye of the earth, and it is sitting next to me. And now, please come, curse this people for me, for it is stronger than I. Perhaps I will prevail, that we may strike them, and I may drive them out from the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed, right? Not from Balaam, but from Yahweh. But he's thinking, he sees Israel's too strong for me, I got to do something. And he's calling. And how is he going to entice Balaam? And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian left with the rewards of the seer in their hand, right? He's going to use money the same way a lot of these Christian pastors today will do anything for cash. And they came to Balaam and spoke the words of Balak to him. And he said to him, stay here tonight, and I will bring back word to you, even as Yahweh may speak to me. And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam. And Elohim came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? And Balaam said to Elohim, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me, saying, behold, a people has come out of Egypt which covers the eyes of the earth. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I'll be able to overcome it and drive it out. And Elohim said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for it is blessed. Right? So, what is it about no that Balaam didn't understand? He asked a very simple question. Yahweh said, you are not to go with them. And let's look at the next verse. And Balaam rose in the morning and said to the leaders of Balak, go to your land, for Yahweh has refused to allow me to go with you. Should be end of story. So, if there were people coming to your house for whatever reason, whether they wanted you to work a job, or they wanted you to join this or that, and you prayed, and a cherub of Yahweh came to you and said, no, don't do it, don't go, you would think that would be the end of it. You would think that would be okay. Yahweh says no. I've had it. But let's continue the story now. Go down to verse 14, the next verse. And the leaders of Moab rose up and came to Balak, and they said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again more leaders and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, so says Balak the son of Zippor, please do not be hindered from coming with us, for I will honor you with much riches. And all that you say to me I will do, and please come, curse this people for us, or for me. So here it is, right? The way Satan works, if he can't entice you with little, he'll entice you with much. And that's what I've seen happen sometimes with jobs, where someone's like, oh no, I know, I ain't taking that job. That job's not good. And all of a sudden, we'll give you more money. We'll give you more of this. And it's like, eh, maybe it's not as bad as I thought, you know? So what is it? Are we enticed with mammon? Or we always says no, we says no. So what happens here? Let's drop down to verse 21. Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the chiefs of Moab. So he didn't understand that when Yahweh said no, he said no. And the next verse, and the anger of Elohim glowed because he went. And the messenger of Yahweh set himself in the road, this is Yeshua, of course, as a foe against him. And he was riding on his donkey and two of his young men with him, right? So when Yahweh says no, and we don't get that, this is exactly what happens. Yahweh becomes a foe to us. Yahweh becomes an enemy to us. And just like with Israel, never mind his blessing being gone. Wow. He is our enemy now. We are no longer part of his tribe at that point. Let's drop down to verse 31. And Yahweh opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the messenger of Yahweh standing in the road, with his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed and fell to his face. And the messenger of Yahweh said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an enemy, because your way is contrary to me. And you know, sometimes Yahweh says no, we don't get it. We compromise, we go out, we get cursed, we have bad things happen, and then you know what we do? We start blaming other people. The same way here. Maybe we're blaming our children. Maybe we're blaming our neighbors. Maybe we're blaming other people. We're blaming somebody instead of looking and seeing why Yahweh's way is contrary. And this is what the messenger of Yahweh says. Don't be hitting your donkey. You know, then it's kind of ironic. The donkey starts talking, you know, like, hey, I've been your donkey forever. I haven't. You know, and that, to me, kind of the most funniest part of the story is that Balaam isn't even amazed that the donkey's talking. He's like just talking back as if this has happened before, but we have no evidence of that. But the donkey is there actually protecting him. And sometimes, I've had this happen to me, where, you know, somebody will be going contrary and I'll come and share with them just what Yahweh shared with me to get them on the right track. And they'll hate me for it. They'll come against me for it, you know, and I'm only trying to help them to get on the right track. And this is what's happening here. Because when we go contrary to Yahweh, we do become an enemy to him. And that's what the messenger of Yahweh says. Behold, I've come out as an enemy because your way is contrary to me. Let's go to chapter 23 now. Let's see how this ends up. Verse 7 and verse 8. It says, and he took up this parable and said, he has led me from Aram, Balak, king of Moab, from the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse Jacob for me, and come, rage at Israel. How shall I curse him who El has not cursed? And how shall I rage at him who El has not raged? So this is the point. Yahweh doesn't change. And sometimes we keep doing this thinking somehow it'll be okay. Because of covetousness, or because of pride, or because of greed, or many other things, we're doing things that we know are contrary to Yahweh. Just like somebody working on the Sabbath and saying, but I don't keep the money. You know, I give all the money I make on Saturday, I give it as tithe. It's like, I don't want one penny of that. You worked on Saturday, don't give that money to me, because I don't want to come under your curse. Because you want to know something? When you break and violate Yahweh's word, you're not only going to be cursed as we saw with Saul, everyone around you is going to get cursed. So I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want the prizes. I don't want the money. I don't want the tithe. I don't want any of it. If you're violating the word of Yahweh, you're going to reap what you sow. Verse 19 and 20. He says, El is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall not he not do it? And has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received word to bless. Yes, he has blessed. I cannot reverse it. So some people read the story, and they think that Balaam is actually changing, having a change of heart. He's not. He really isn't having a change of heart. The simple fact is, he cannot curse Israel. He would have liked to, but he can't because Yahweh doesn't change. So the words coming out of his mouth, like he said, it can only come out what Yahweh's going to put in my mouth. So, yes, Yahweh put the words in his mouth to bless Israel. He couldn't curse him, but he wanted to curse him. So what he did later, he taught Balak how to get Israel to curse themselves. And that's where he had the Moabite women come, and there was the story. But what happened to Balaam in the end? Numbers 31. Balaam got his just reward because Balaam was not a servant of Yahweh. Numbers 31 in verse 6 through 8. And it says, and Moses sent them to the army, 1,000 for a tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest of the army, and he sent the holy vessels and the trumpets to sound his hand. And they warred against Midian, as Yahweh had commanded Moses, and they killed every male. And they killed the kings of Midian, beside the rest of their slain, Evi, and Rechem, and Zor, and Hur, and Reba, 5 kings of Midian, and they killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword. So in the end, like I said, we go against Yahweh. The end is going to justify the means there. So Balaam got what he wanted. So I want to go to Judges 6 now, because I want to make sure you understand what I'm talking about, not going violating Yahweh's word, and what is it about you? No, we don't understand. That doesn't mean at times where we might not be sure of something, there could be something in our life or something that we're not sure what to do, that there are times you can put out a fleece, as we see here with Judges. Judges 6 and verse 36 with Gideon. You know, because Yahweh told Gideon something, and he believed in Yahweh, but he wasn't sure, so he put out the fleece and says, and Gideon said to Elohim, if you are to deliver Israel by my hand, as you have spoken, behold, I am placing the fleece of wool on the grain floor. If the dew is on the fleece only, and dryness on the ground, then I know that you will deliver Israel by my hand, as you have spoken. And it was so. And he rose early on the next day and wrung the fleece and drained the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said to Elohim, let not your anger glow against me, and I shall speak this only this time. Please let me try only this time with the fleece. Please let there be dryness on the fleece alone, and let there be dew on the ground. So the opposite to make sure. And Elohim did so on that night, and there was dryness only on the fleece, and there was dew on the ground. So I don't think it's wrong to put on a fleece sometimes. Like I said, it could be something where you're offered a job or something else, and you're not exactly sure. It's not anything that's violating the word of Yahweh, but you're not sure if it's the right decision. So it's not wrong in certain times in our life when we're not sure of something to put a fleece out. But in most cases, remember, this was before the Spirit of Yahweh was there. So with the Spirit of Yahweh, we don't have to be putting fleeces out every day. And I've seen people, it almost becomes witchcraft, where everything they're doing, like, I'm not sure whether to go to this supermarket or this supermarket, let me put out a fleece. And it becomes almost like gambling, like witchcraft. So, yes, there is a time to put out a fleece to pray to Yahweh, if there's a big decision in our life and we want to make sure, but it's not something we should be doing every day. You know, it's something that should be very rare, but at times it could happen. You know, most times we don't need it, but it could. Genesis 2. And like I said, with Gideon, the Holy Spirit was not given yet, as it is today. But with the Ruach, most of the time the Ruach will share with us that. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. It says, and Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, eating you may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day you eat, you will surely die. What was it about Noah that Adam and Eve didn't understand, right? and the day you eat, you will die. Yahweh knew that without his Ruach HaKodesh, without his Holy Spirit, that people could not decide good from evil. So that's the reason why, you know, he didn't want them eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I certainly believe today that the modern day tree of the knowledge of good and evil, without a shadow of a doubt, is the internet. Only it's a lot more evil than there is good. But it's not all evil. You know, not every last thing on there is evil, but most of it is evil. But the problem is man can't decide the difference. Man doesn't know how to discern what's evil and what's good. And that's why they call abortion a woman's right to choose, right? That's why they call homosexuality an abomination to Yahweh, is a lifestyle choice. Man will always make the wrong decisions without the Spirit of Yahweh. It's that simple. So Yahweh knew without his Ruach HaKodesh that people could not decide good from evil, and he basically told them, stay away from it. You know, in the Garden of Eden, there was one way, it was the way of Yahweh. They didn't listen. Let's go to Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Because when we don't listen when Yahweh says no, we're only going to have tragedy in our life. And the serpent was cunning, right? So it's always the serpent that's going to be the one. He's not out for our good, but he will give you things that are pleasing to the flesh if he can get you to disobey Yahweh. And that happens sometimes. You know, I've seen people sometimes that they're living in an area, they have brethren there, a congregation, they have friends, the kids have relatives, they have grandparents, everything is perfect. And then the father gets this, you know, promotion if he moves on the other side of the country, you know, and there's no brethren there, and it's a bad place, you know, maybe California, where they're very liberal in this, and they'll kid themselves to say, oh no, but Yahweh gave this. This is Yahweh opening up the door, just because of the mindset, you know. And like I said, in commercial Babylon, we have this world perception that materialism is a blessing. So if I'm getting more money, it must be a blessing. If I got a bigger house, it must be a blessing. If we have a lot of people here, we're being blessed. That's not necessarily a blessing. More is not necessarily a blessing. Can be, but not necessarily. You have to look at, is it violating the word of Yahweh? Is it going to draw me closer to Yahweh or more away from Yahweh? It's that simple. And that's why I love the Amish. When they made the idea, they look at something. They didn't say electricity is bad, right? Because electricity is just this current in the air. What they said was, will this thing, whether it's electricity or whatever, will this thing draw us closer to Elohim or take us more away from Elohim? So it's not the electricity that's the bad thing. It's what the electricity is going to bring in the house, right? Electricity will bring the telephone. Electricity will bring the TV. The electricity will bring the radio, whatever it is. That can bring them away. And we have to think of the same thing when we're making a decision for something. Not if it's going to materially bless us more, but will it draw us closer to Yahweh? Or is it going to take us more away from Yahweh? So, the serpent is cunning, and this is the way he's going to deceive them. And he says to the woman, is it so that Elohim said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? This is what happens sometimes, right? This is the way Satan works. He gives you part of an answer, right? But not the whole answer, right? Sometimes children will do this, you know, so it's like, you know, Ma, can I do this? And you might ask a question and they give you part of the answer, but they're not giving you the whole thing, you know, because they want to sway your decision. And that's what the devil is doing here. And the woman says to the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim had said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Right? So a little bit of it isn't good. It wasn't just eating it. He's saying, don't even go near it. And in our life, we should put fences around our life so that we don't even come close to sin. That's what we should be doing. And the serpent said to the woman, surely you're not going to die, right? So now, here comes it down to the nitty-gritty. He's saying, Yahweh's lying, the same that what Nathan said, right? When he said, you know, about Moses, he's not giving you any land of milk and honey, you know? And they had to make a decision, and Moses said, those on Yahweh's side come to me. And some of the people came to Yahweh's side, some of the people went to the other side because they wanted to go back to Egypt, and we saw the end result. So the same way here, Eve has to decide who is she going to believe. And we know what happens. And Elohim knows that the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. Nope, only told her part of it. Yeah, their eyes will be open. And they will know good and evil, but they won't know which is which. That's the problem, right? So why know it if you don't know which is which? And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise, right? All the things of the flesh. All the things of the flesh. And she took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband, and he ate. And just like today, Satan is cunning. He's playing on the human spirit of pride, lust, and greed to have people do things even when Yahweh says no. And what people do is they're kind of compromising on it because they're thinking, well, I'm not really doing it. I'm not really doing it, you know. I mean, I'm only frying an egg. I'm not really cooking. You know, it's not really cooking. It's just frying an egg, right? But Yahweh says no. He says, prepare your food on Friday. He says, any kind of servile work you do on Saturday, you are violating the Sabbath. And for the man who just went out and picked up sticks, couldn't be that bad, right? You know, he's thinking of everybody else, because if I don't pick up these sticks, they ain't going to have a fire. So they find him picking up the sticks, and it's like, oh, what do we do? Well, we don't want to make a wrong decision. Let's ask Yahweh. Hey, Yahweh, that guy's picking up sticks. What should we do? Should we tap him on his hand? Burn him with fire. Kill him. That was Yahweh's answer, that they may learn to fear me. No is no. No is no. And Yahweh had to get them to understand with Shabbat, it's a blessing if you're keeping it. It's a curse if you're breaking it. No is no. And in 6,000 years, it hasn't changed. The same laws for the Sabbath that were there in creation, the same laws are here today. Are we keeping it, or are we violating it? Because no is still no. Spirit of compromise, we got to get out. So then let's go to verse 7 now. Now what happens afterwards? What are the consequences when we don't understand no? And the eyes of both of them were open, right? So yeah, now they did know. They knew. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves of the fig tree and made girdles for themselves. And they heard the sound of Yahweh walking up and down in the garden of the breeze of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the face of Yahweh Elohim in the middle of the trees of the garden. And Yahweh Elohim called to the man and said, where are you? Right? Where are you? And he said, I have heard the sound in the garden. I was afraid, for I am naked and I hid myself. Yahweh's wondering. How could that be? And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she's given me of the tree and I ate. Is it true? Yes. Is he taking responsibility? No. He did exactly what Saul did. Try to put the blame on somebody else, right? Put the blame on somebody else. And Elohim said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. Hey, ain't my fault. You know, I didn't put the serpent in the garden. You did. You know, it's not my fault it happened. So we see here they did not take responsibility. Rebellion and sin made them lose the covering of Yahweh in their life. And once that happens, they'll never be the same again. We know the world has never been the same again, and the same with us. Once we rebelliously will disobey Yahweh, and once those consequences come, it'll never be the same situation again. There are drastic consequences. So let's look at some of those consequences. Verse 16, and he said to the woman, I will greatly increase your sorrow in your conception, and you will bear sons in sorrow, and your desire will be toward your husband, and he will rule over you. Wow. Can you imagine this? That, like I said, women have the greatest gift in the world from any human being that's on this planet, that women have the ability to give life, that they can give life just like Yahweh to another human being. For men, we can't even recreate a blade of grass. We can make fake ones, synthetic ones, but we can't create a blade of grass. We can't create life. A woman can. And now, where Yahweh made that where the woman would be having that baby, it would be the greatest feeling in the world. They would feel great and wonderful. It was going to be the highest they'd ever feel. He made it where it was the worst pain you could ever imagine. And for you ladies that have had babies, you know it. You know it's not pleasant while that baby's being born. And it wasn't meant to be that way. Why would you go through the worst sorrowful pain in the world when you're giving life to a baby? Yahweh, that's not Yahweh's pattern. He didn't make it that way. We made it that way. We made it that way by not understanding no. And 6,000 years later, we're still under those. For men, let's look here. Verse 17. And he said to the man, because you listened to the voice of your wife, and you've eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, the ground will be cursed because of you. You will eat of it in sorrow all the days of your life. It shall bring thorns and thistles to you, and you shall eat the plant of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread until you return to the ground, for you have been taken out of it, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. And it's amazing, you know, if you do gardening, how much work it takes to turn that dirt over, to make it fertile, to get it all ready. And you put those little plants in, and every day you got to look, you got to water, you got to make sure it's good. And usually about a third of them die anyway. But wow, you don't have to do nothing for the weeds. They're going to come whether you want them or not. No matter what you do, they're coming there. And this is the curse of this. Yahweh didn't mean it to be that way. It should be the other way. That all you had to do was actually work and put the thing in, and you're going to get, you know, like the grapes they had in the Promised Land. They had to carry them on a pole. That was Yahweh's plan. That was Yahweh's vision. That we would be so blessed and so happy by the work we're doing. And now, because of man's decision, like I said, it affected every human being from that point, every man from that point. And every year I go out there and I start digging my garden, you know, I realize it's part of the curse. You know, it's part of the curse that you have to suffer. You, by the sweat of your brow, you have to do it. And it's never going to be the way it could have been. And now we're to the point where no matter where you live on earth, the soils are depleted. You know, if you just put things in, they don't grow that the way they would have grown, because mankind doesn't understand no. So we see this. These are the drastic consequences that we have when we don't understand no. Things that will affect the life of not only us, but of people forever. Ephesians 2 and verse 2 says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the will of the ruler, the prince of the authority of the air, the spirit which is active in the sons of disobedience. You know, Satan, the god of this world, is the prince of the power of the airways in this world. And he uses radio, he uses TV, he uses internet, he uses all these things. These are all his tools to brainwash human beings every single day of their life. And like I said, all of us have a body frequency. And the same way, if you're, you have like a two-way radio and you're trying to talk to somebody and it's like, let's turn the frequency, turn it to 15, you know, I can hear you now, you know, okay, great. It's the same way. That's what Satan does. That Satan will turn those frequencies into every evil that can imagine. You know, and Yahweh says no, and what do we say? You know, Yahweh is not the prince of the power of the airways, Satan is. So how much time are we spending on Satan's airways, you know, when Yahweh says no? Satan is still the prince of the power of the airway, like I said, radio, TV, internet. Satan is cunning. He's deceiving, right? So he'll put things up there sometimes that may even seem like something, because we do have to watch the times. You know, we do want to watch the news. We want to see what's going on. But he might put something up there that almost seems like it's something that we would want to know. But then he puts all this other stuff in there and is like, woof, let me turn that off real quick. You know, unfortunately, I get a lot of stuff from brethren that I'm shocked. You know, I'm like, why would the brethren send me this thing? You know, or maybe they didn't watch it, but I'm shocked when I see it, and I don't want to see it. So we have to make sure, because Yahweh still says no to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He never said after they took it, now it's okay. You know, now that they did it, now you can go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. No, he still says no. And are we going for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or are we going for the tree of life? It's still the same thing. We have the same decision that Adam and Eve failed in the garden. Which one is it? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life? Revelation 13. And here we are. Now we come to real time, right? No more analogies. This is real time. Revelation 13 and verse 16. And the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free man and the slaves, it causes that they give them all a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads, right? Isn't it kind of interesting? When you look at this, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free man and the slaves, it doesn't matter whether I go to America, Babylon, I go to Europe, it doesn't matter whether I go to Asia, it doesn't matter whether I go to third world Africa, I can go to the poorest place on earth in South Sudan, and everybody still has the phone. Everyone still has it. So, you know, it's really interesting, like it says here, And you would think, because I've seen, I never bought one of those things, but I've seen some of them up to $1,000. But you know what? And you're in a third world country, you don't have to pay. They'll give it to you. They'll give it to you for free, you know, or at least $5, $10. So be honest with yourself. In this world, especially in the third world, has the UN, has, you know, world government, have they ever tried to make your life better? Are they coming there and saying, hey, Elder Bernard, we want to give you $100,000 for you to educate your children and buy, build a house and do all this stuff? You know, we can't get a vehicle in the whole country of Kenya. We need a vehicle because they're like $30,000, a used vehicle. You know, we don't have the money to buy that, to buy a used vehicle. So we could use one really, really bad, and we can't afford it. They're not giving out vehicles. We would take a vehicle that's 30 years old. Can't get it. Right? But when it comes to that phone, they'll give it to you for nothing. You tell me. You tell me if it's the prince of the power of the airwaves or if it's just coincidence. Right? Yahweh says no, what do we say? Not even that any could buy or sell except the one having the mark, the name of the beast, and the number of the name, and here we are. Like I said, we saw a shadow of it in COVID, now it's starting. I was telling you, start next month, some of the airlines are ready now. If you don't have the phone, you can't fly. That's the end of it. Yep, already starting work. They said in UK, you don't have the digital IT, you will not work without the digital IT. So UK, a big country, you know, you're not talking about Zimbabwe or, you know, somewhere like that or the North Pole. It's starting. It's starting. And once it starts, like we saw with COVID, it'll go very, very, very quickly, right? So not even anyone could buy or sell except that one having the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of the name. So again, if you have that, you got no problem. You got the phone, you're good. You'll be able to work, you'll be able to fly, you'll be able to go to the supermarket, you'll be able to do everything. So, but just remember, read these stories I've been going over here. Because you know the one thing you won't have if you keep that phone? You don't have Yahweh's blessing. That phone is not something that is neutral. It's something that was created, and it wasn't created by Yahweh. It was created for the beast system. That's what it was created for, right? I'm not saying telephones were created for the beast system. I'm saying that smartphone, so to speak, was created for one reason, tracking people and the end time beast system. You know, wow, I was shocked when COVID came. How quick QR codes came from? Where did this come from? It's as if they knew it was coming. Yeah, they knew it was coming. COVID was planned. They practiced it 3 months beforehand. You know, they did they did it for 2.5 years. When they got all the answers they wanted, they stopped it. And now we're going to see it again coming very, very soon. You know, it may not be a virus or whatever. It'll be financial, like I said. And it's already starting. UK, you cannot work without a digital ID. So here it is. You can't buy and sell unless you have it. So if you have it, you're fine. You got nothing to worry about except your eternal life. Go to Revelation 14, verse 9. So what happens to these people who do go along with this? And a third cherub followed them, saying in a great voice, if anyone worships the beast in its image and receives the mark in his forehead or in his hand, he will drink of the wine of the anger of Yahweh, having been mixed, undiluted in the cup of his wrath, and he will be tormented by fire and brimstone before the holy cherubim before the Lamb. He will be tormented in the lake of fire. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. Meaningly, there is no turning back. You know, that's it. Like Sodom and Gomorrah said, the smoke rises. It's a Jewish idiom, meaning it's done. When Yahweh says no, Yahweh says no. There's no turning back. There's no remembrance of them. And those worshiping the beast in its image have no rest day or night, even if anyone receives the mark of his name, right? The WWW, the 666. W, the Wav, is the sixth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. In Hebrew, there are no numbers. Letters are numbers. You know, Aleph is one, Bet is two, and the Wav is six. So WWW is 666, and here we are. Soon now, and it's one, it's, I believe part of this is on the video we're going to watch later, but Bill Gates has announced that now they already have these, and they've had them for a while, but they're starting to use them now, these tattoos instead of phones. So people will get the tattoo in their hand instead of a phone. They also just came out from, I forget what company it was. Maybe it was even Zuckerberg, but the glasses now also, which they had before, but now they updated them. So they've been practicing this stuff, but people are starting to get them. That you don't have to have the phone, you'll have it in your glasses. Interesting, right? Tattoo in your hand, the glasses in your forehead. Wow. So we are here. We are there. And now, like I said, you are going to start to see this, and only Yahweh knows how long it'll take, but I don't believe it's going to take that long to implement this on a worldwide level. But we're already starting to see the implication starting now. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8. It says, "Hear, O Israel, Shema Israel, Yahweh or Elohim is Yahweh Echad. Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. And you will love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." Do we? Do we love Yahweh? Because if we do, we're going to understand when he says no, just like a child will understand when the parent says no. "And these words which I am commanding you today will be on your heart. And you shall diligently teach them to your sons, and you will speak of them as you sit in the house, and as you walk in the way, and as you're lying down, and as you're rising up," right? Is it on your mind all the time? You know, like I said, you wake up, first pinch yourself that you're still alive, and then get on your hands and knees and start praying and thanking Yahweh that you're alive. "And you will bind them for a sign on your hand, and they will be for frontlets between your eyes." Because the mind is how you think, the hands is what you do. So either we are following Yahweh's way, right? Or we're following the world's way. It's one or the other. And if we're allowing Satan, the prince of the power of the airways, to brainwash us every day in our mind, we will be doing the things that brainwashing is doing. If we're in the word of Yahweh every day, and that is what's washing our mind clean of Satan's brainwashing, then our actions are going to show. And that's why he says, "By your fruits you'll know them." You know, by your fruits you will know them. 1 John 2 and verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them." What is it about? No, we don't understand. You know, very clearly, if we love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So, like I said, COVID really taught me a lot because I had to see what were some of the things in the world that I love too much that I had to get rid of. Because I actually should have had no problem with COVID if I was really following Yahweh 100%. And praise Yahweh for COVID, because it showed me where I wasn't. I saw things in my life that I had to change, and I did, and still changing them. But if we love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. There's no other way to look at it. So like I said, what is it about no, we don't understand, right? We think with our mind, we do with our hands. It's the opposite of the mark of the beast when we're doing it. You know, and actually in the word of Yahweh, I've done messages on this before. We've always been told from the beginning to be separate. In the Garden of Eden, that's what Adam and Eve were told, be separate from the world. We see Israel was told, be separate from the neighbors around them. The New Testament is the same thing, be separate. The vast majority, right, the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant has been here for 2,000 years. The vast majority of that, you know, 1,700 years or so of that, have been separated in the wilderness. And even when they weren't separated in the wilderness, they were still supposed to be separated from the world. And we're living in the Laodicean era. We're living in the worst time the world has ever known and ever will know. We're living in rebellious, self-righteous people that don't want to follow the ways of Yahweh. And they have the internet, and you have all this false religious stuff. Very first thing Yeshua warns about, you know, be careful to watch deception. And it's never been. And every time you think it can't get worse than this, wow, it gets worse. So, praise Yahweh, it doesn't have to get worse in our congregation. I can honestly say, as some of my friends who are elders and some of the other congregations are writing me and asking me what to do about, you know, this stuff going on with these false books and people falling away, we've really had very, very little, minimal, almost nothing in our congregation from that. You know, but we do have a problem in our congregation with the internet. That is the big one, and that will take a lot of people away, and it's not going to be too far from here. So you got to look in your hearts, and you have to see where Yahweh is saying no, and you're not following. Yahweh told us no, being part of the world, right? Yahweh says no to divorce. He says no to working on Shabbat. What is it in your life that Yahweh is saying no, that you don't understand, and you might be paying the consequences? Sometimes people will say, well, I'm praying to Yahweh, and he hasn't answered my prayer. And you know what? Maybe he answered your prayer, and maybe the answer is no. You gotta understand. Let's understand. So I pray that this blesses you. We are in very, very serious times that we're living in, but they're also glorious times. And like I said, it's amazing sometimes that you can't imagine that you can be so filled with joy and happy in a time that's going like this. But you can be. You can be. Because as long as we're putting our faith in Yahweh, and as long as, never mind the no part, because there's a lot more yeses in the Bible than there are no's. So let's look to get our focus on the yes, get our focus on the word. And Yahweh's blessing is there. He wants to bless us. He wants to give that blessing out. We just have to accept it. Yahweh bless. Atzalayim.